Good evening,
brother. Praise the Lord. Everybody's awake today. Man. I'm actually trying to gather myself, so give me a minute. I start tearing up with my wife singing. God is just so good. And just for her to sing is a miracle. In itself, you guys who don't know her that well, mom would be the first one to tell you that she knew her for what, 12, 15 years, and maybe said one word to her out of all those years. So Beth is really breaking out of her shell, and she, for her to be singing in church, Amen. It's a blessing.
Amen. Well, she did it for her Uncle Mike.
But it shows you, because I know that there's a lot of people here who are scared to do things for God. I know there's a lot of people here who are scared to talk in front of you guys, who are scared to give a message, who are scared to sing, who are scared and refuse to do things. And Bethany was one of them. Bethany was always scared, and she was timid, and she does not want to sing. Praise the Lord that she's a good godly woman and she does what her husband says. So when I say, "Will you sing?" she says yes. And I try not to abuse that, you know. But my point is, and I'm almost positive Beth will tell you, my point is, once you get over that fear and you're willing to do it, God will do the rest. So there's really not much to be scared about, you know. I never wanted to preach. I hated being back behind here. I hated talking in crowds and groups because I was scared. I remember the first time I preached, I was so white. I remember shaking. I couldn't even get to the scripture because I was so scared. But then God just takes over. God just wants you to be willing to do it. It doesn't matter if it's singing, doesn't matter if it's playing an instrument, it doesn't matter if it's preaching, doesn't matter if it's witnessing, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, giving somebody out on the street the gospel. God just wants you to be willing. God will do all the work. With that said, if we could turn our Bibles, please, open our Bibles to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to get right into it, and this kind of goes into what I want to talk about tonight. This is a message that God gave me when I was doing my daily readings, and something just stuck with me when I read this, where I had to read it two times, and then it was three times, and then it was four times, and then it was five times, then it was six times, and I kept trying to go past it, but God said, uh-uh, and I had to read it. I've read it at least 12 times before I'm like, okay, now I know where you're going with this. And when I first started reading it, it showed me myself, and it showed me things that I was doing. It showed me things that I was thinking. It showed me things that that I needed to get right. And so I just want you guys to know that anything that I say here is to me. I know I say that all the time, but it is. It truly is. This message was geared for me. So we're going to read Mark 14. We're going to start in verse 27. And then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go verse by verse. There's really not... There is an ultimate message here, but there's a lot of messages just in those verses. So I'm kind of just going to go over a couple of the verses, and then I'll get to the main meat of the message. So verse 27, it says, "And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he said more the vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you so much for a house that we can call a house of God. We thank you so much for a building where we can hear your words, where we can meet other people who love you, where we can just hear from you. Father, I ask, please, that you empty me of myself. I ask that you allow me to be completely 100% empty so I could be 100% filled, overflowing with your Spirit, Father. I ask that you please use me as a vessel. I don't want anything to be of me, but I want it all to be of you, Father. I ask that you please, please use me. Father, I thank you for being able to use me. I thank you that I can call you Father. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for the people here tonight. I ask, please, Lord, again, just use me to reach the people here, to please prepare their hearts. Please be with them. Fill them with your love and your Spirit. Allow us to feel you tonight, each and every one of us. Allow us to feel your presence here. Allow us to know that you're here. And allow us to just glorify you and not think about any worldly things that we have. I thank you, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start in verse 27. Jesus talking to the disciples here, saying, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." Jesus is talking to the people that he handpicked. Jesus is talking to the handpicked apostles. Jesus is talking to the people that he gave powers to. He's talking to the people that rebuked devils. He's talking to the people that healed people. He's talking to the people that watched Jesus bring people from the dead. He's talking to people that know Jesus is God. He's talking to the true heart of Christianity. He's talking to the believers. And he's telling the believers that you're going to be offended because of me. And it made me think, in our Christian walk, how many times are we offended or ashamed of God? How many times are we offended or we're ashamed of Jesus Christ? How many times do we go to a Wawa, we go to a McDonald's, we see people on the street, we don't give them a gospel tract because we're scared, we're nervous, we're offended? How many times are we ashamed to pray in public? How many times do we go out to eat and we're nervous to pray out loud? So we say a little prayer to ourselves because we don't want other people to hear us. We're offended of Jesus. How many times are we out in the world and we're scared, we're nervous, we're offended to say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus." How many times are we afraid to tell somebody to watch their mouth? How many times are we afraid to give somebody the gospel? Jesus said that we're going to be offended because of him. At one point or another, all of us have been there. All of us have been nervous. All of us has been scared. All of us has been ashamed. All of us have been offended because of Jesus. And that's something we really, truly need to watch out for. If you can, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Keep your finger in Mark because we're going to go back there. Matthew chapter 5, look in verse 14, very popular verse. I love this right here. Jesus talking, he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that all..." Oh, I'm sorry, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." If we are born again, if we are believers, and again, in back in Mark, if he was talking to the believers, he was talking to the core, he was talking to the followers of him, the Christians, and if that's what we are, we're supposed to be a light. And our light is not supposed to be hid, but it's supposed to be on a mountain for all to see. It doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter if it's at work, doesn't matter if it's out in this world, doesn't matter if it's in a store, doesn't matter where it is, if you're just going to a bank, we're supposed to be a light. Amen. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to stand out. We're not supposed to be the same as everybody else. We're supposed to be 100% different. Different. We're supposed to have a light. When people look at us, they're not supposed to see us. They're not supposed to see that we follow the world. They're not supposed to see that we do certain things. They're supposed to see Jesus. They're supposed to see a light coming through us. And that light is Jesus Christ. But Jesus here, back in our main text, telling the core, the believers, that we're going to be offended. And it made me think when I read that, how many times I haven't given out a gospel tract? How many times I was ashamed to go up to someone and give them the gospel? When it's so easy, all you have to do is strike up a conversation first. How many times have I, just family members, my sisters, that aren't saved? How many times have I gone to them and I just hung out and, spent time with my nephews and I didn't mention about Jesus Christ? I didn't mention about the gospel. When I read that, it hurt me. I felt it. It pricked me deeply. It truly did. It made me think it doesn't matter if I told them a million times, I should never give up. I should never stop telling them. We know the end times are coming. We know it. We see it. It could be a week from now. It could be 20, 30 years from now. But it's coming. And I honestly believe with every core of my being, I believe with all my spirit, it's going to be my lifetime. I believe it. I feel it. I can see it in this world. And if I know that, if I know it's going to be in my lifetime, I know what's coming. And there's a lot of people out in this world that have no idea what's coming. Like Dad was preaching today about the blind leading the blind. They have no clue, none, what is going to happen. And they are going to burn for eternity. And we are supposed to be a light. We are supposed to give that to them. We can tell them about God, the gospel. We can give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we choose not to. We choose to hide it. If we continue in verse 27, it says, "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee." This is what I really want you guys to look at. Look at verse 29. "But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." We don't have to turn there. I was going to, but time's sake, we don't have to turn there. In Matthew's version of this story, Matthew 26:33, Peter says never. And it just made me think, the old saying, never say never. Everybody's heard that, right? Never say never. Peter said, "I will never offend you." And what does God do as soon as we say never? He humbles us. He slaps us down. He shows us. I've seen it. Missionaries who lead thousands and thousands of people to the Lord, they get prideful. They say, "I will never fall away. I will never cheat on my wife. I will never, do this. I will never do that. I will never do that." It's spiritual pride. And then what happens? They do it. Something happens, whether it's there's an excuse to be in it, whatever it is, something happens and they end up doing it. Never say never. Never say never. It might be a cliche, but it's true. Never say never. I remember when I first got saved back in 2003, when I was down in Florida, Pensacola, Mike will tell you, I was fired up for God. I was praising God. I was street preaching. I was telling every person I came in contact with about the gospel. And I got prideful. And I even said, and I remember saying this, "Now that I have a taste of God, I will never fall away from God." Oh yeah? What happened? And if you guys who know me, after that, I was out of God for 10 years. 10 years. All because I used the word never. And that's what's going on with Peter here. Peter has a little bit of a spiritual pride going about him. He's boasting himself in his spiritual walk. And that's something we need to watch out for, because I see it all the time. And it doesn't matter if you're a missionary. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter who you are. Because you're higher up, if you're a pastor or a missionary, you can actually fall into this more than a regular member. Getting spiritually proud, spiritually prideful. It is scary to be spiritually proud. And we all have to watch out for it. Every single one of us. You know, and I'm just admitting my faults again, because this was for me. This morning, and I hate calling people out, but I got really hurt this morning when a certain family wasn't here. Michelle. She wasn't here. And then I started looking down on her, thinking, you know, well, she needs it. Why is she not here? Blah, blah, blah. And God just rebuked me and said, remember the message I gave you? Who are you? Who are you to look down upon anybody? And every single one of us has done it. You know, I know we have. We've looked down upon people for doing things. And as Pastor preached today, we're all the same. All of us. We're supposed to give each other mercies. Forgiveness. Mercy. Because we all make mistakes. Every single one of us makes mistakes every single day of our lives. And we expect God to forgive us. We expect it. It's not that we want it to happen. We expect it. We say, God's going to forgive me. And we expect it to happen. We have a boasting about ourselves. We expect it. But yet we won't forgive somebody in our church who offended us. In Matthew, it says, God will not forgive you if you don't forgive others. How many times in your life have you asked God to forgive you? We should forgive others just the same amount. Because we are flawed just like they are. I am no better than Michelle. I am no better than anybody in here. I am no better than anybody. I am just a worm. I'm actually lower than a worm. I am. I know what I am. And I know without God, I know without Jesus who I am. And I know what I would do if I didn't have God in my life. Amen. I know me. I can't look down on anybody. Amen. And we all do it. And it's something that I want every single one of us to realize. When your mind does it and you say something about somebody else in your mind or in your heart, stop yourself, ask for forgiveness. Amen. Because we're not better than anybody. But Peter here, being all boastful. That's typical Peter, isn't it? He's a very emotional guy. He really is. He's a really emotional guy. I like Peter a lot. I can't wait to meet him someday, which I know I will. Praise the Lord. But he's a very emotional guy. And I'm sure every single one of us at one point or another has said in our lives, I will never fall away from God. We got to be careful. Because I guarantee you, I don't know what happens in the spiritual world. I just know what the book tells me. But I can guarantee you, when we say never, the devil's like, ha, 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 really? Oh, yeah, I got you now. I could just picture it. And Peter says, I will never offend you. He said, I will never. He was boastful. He was very boastful. Look in verse 30. It says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And look at Peter in verse 31. But he spoke the more vehemently, which means showing strong and often angry feelings. Peter spoke the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And that made me think about myself, and it made me think of church today, that we read something in the Bible. That's why I love what he preached this morning, and that's why I asked to preach. We look at something in the Bible, or the pastor tells us something, or we see something, and we're like, nah. Jesus purposely looked at Peter and said, you're going to do this. And Peter said, with passion, with feeling, no, I won't. how many times have we done that in our Christian walk? Seriously. How many times have we heard something in the Bible where God says, no, don't do this? That's not for me. I'm Peter. That's not for me. I'm Greg. That's not for me. I'm Pastor. That's not for me. That's for everybody else, but that's not for me. That's a spiritual pride. That's something we need to watch out for, is that spiritual pride. Because this book is just as much for me as it is for Keith, as it is for Dad, as it is for Dave, as it is for Rich, as it is for every single person that's in here. It doesn't matter who you are. This Bible is for everybody, and nobody is above this. Nobody is above God's Word. Nobody. Dad, you're here. You're a pastor of this church because God made you that way. God called you to do it. Nothing of you. I'm here. I'm here doing the sound. I preach when I can. I help out in the church. Not because of me. Because God wants me to do it. And as soon as we start puffing up our chest, as soon as we start saying, oh, I can do this, I can do that, that's when we get the spiritual pride. And that's exactly what Peter did. He had spiritual pride because he walked with God. Was anyone at this point in time closer to Jesus than Peter? He walked with Jesus. He talked with him. He ate with him. He cried with him. He did miracles with him. He watched everything with Jesus. So he had got prideful. He started thinking, I'm Jesus' best friend. He wouldn't do that to me. No way. That's something we have to watch out for. It truly is. We truly have to watch out for it. I am guilty. I am guilty. I am guilty. There's times where, people do things in this church. Small things, little things. Like, we know we're not supposed to bring in any drinks in this church. And I see somebody bringing a church. For some reason, it bothers me. I'm just telling you guys, it bothers me. And then I'm sitting there and I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, they know better. Why are they doing what? And then I finally God starts telling me, why are you getting frustrated? Amen. That's between them and me. That's, you have nothing to do with it. And you're right, Lord. Who am I? Who am I to judge them? Who am I to look down upon them? Who am I? I am nobody. It cracks me up how Peter, he spoke with feeling, with passion. No. He literally, in the face of Jesus, said, no, I will not do that. I will die for you, it says in other versions, or in other places. I think it's in John. I had it written down, I'm sorry. But I think it's in John, it says, I will lay down my life for you. And he got loud in Jesus' face. And that's something we need to watch out for. And that's why I wanted to talk about this tonight, because it doesn't matter if you're a first-generation Christian, if you're a second-generation Christian, if you're a third-generation Christian. It doesn't matter how you grew up. It doesn't matter. We all need to be born again. Every single one of us. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a church. It's not the church that saves you. It's not your family that saves you. You need Jesus Christ, just like I do. It doesn't matter if you're a drug addict and you just get saved and you're trying your hardest to beat those drugs. You need Jesus Christ. Who are we to look down upon them? Who are we to have that spiritual pride? And then when Jesus, he tells us something and we get, nah, doesn't mean for us. We get the same way as Peter. We truly do. That's not for us. No, I don't need to do that. I'm going to pick on Dad for a minute just because he's my dad. You really are. There's one thing that Dad admits behind the pulpit. He doesn't follow the speed limit. And he doesn't wear his seatbelt. But technically, he should. Technically, he should. We are supposed to follow the land of the law. As long as it doesn't break God's law, right? We read in Daniel, it's the same thing. As long as it doesn't break God's law, we're supposed to follow the land of the law. I don't agree with wearing a seatbelt. I hate it to death. But it's the law. We should do it. I don't agree with going 25 miles an hour down Dutton Mill because that's ridiculous. But it's the law. We're not above the law. We should follow it. If we turn to Proverbs chapter 9, actually, I'll just read it for time's sake. I apologize. Huh? No, I can't. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee." And that's exactly what Peter was doing right there. Peter was being a scorner at that point. And he hated God, for he hated Jesus at that point. Now, he didn't hate him, but you know what I mean, for rebuking him. How are we supposed to act? You look at the rest of that verse. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. And that's exactly how we're supposed to act. If somebody comes to you and corrects you, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you. I didn't know I was doing that. Amen. Thank you for showing me. Amen. And now I'm going to pick on Keith. Keith and I work together now, so we talk too much. But one thing that I need to say about Brother Keith is if he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, and I tell him in a way that I hope is not hurtful, he is very good at listening, taking it in, and thinking about it. Not many people are like that. And I appreciate that. I truly do. Because that shows me that when somebody rebukes me and shows me something, I'm not, that's how I need to act. And I'm not favoring him. It's the truth. I've told him more than once, "Keith, you probably shouldn't be doing this." And he's like, and he thought about it. "Yeah, you're right." And we've talked about it at work. And I've hopefully have been spiritually lifting him up because of it. And he's been spiritually lifting me up because of it. And we're helping each other at work. And it's awesome. I love it. Because it's hard at our work sometimes. We have some heathens there. And it's hard at our work sometimes. So Keith and I, we lift each other up. And I really appreciate that Keith hasn't been offended when I said something. Just like I haven't been offended when he said something. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to get offended at each other. We're not supposed to be offended at Jesus Christ. We're supposed to listen to every single word he does. Now, if we can, turn to Romans chapter 11, and I'll finish in Romans. We know, if you read your Bible, you know, God hates pride, hates it. And there's two different prides. You can have a physical pride and you can have a spiritual pride. The Pharisees were spiritually proud. They were spiritually prideful. And there's a very thin line of being, you know, following God and doing what God wants us to do and being a Pharisee. Sometimes we got to make sure we don't cross that line. Romans chapter 11, verse 18. I love this verse. I love this whole parable here. It says, "Boast not against the branches." There's a period, so I'm going to stop. "Boast not against the branches." Bible scholar, Mr. Dad, what's the branches? Who are the branches? We are the branches. God's saying, "Boast not against the branches." We are not supposed to boast against each other. We're not. We're not supposed to look down upon each other at all. Period. The only time you're supposed to look down upon somebody is what? When, Pop? When you're helping them up. Pay attention. You always do it to me. I'm doing it back. I love my dad. I truly do. We aren't supposed to look down upon anybody because we all fight different battles. But we all have battles. Doesn't matter what it is. We all have different battles. Our battles are different, but we all have battles. We have the same enemy, but we also have the same father. So we can't look down upon each other because God loves us all. God died for us all. Now, if we finish that verse in verse 18, it says, "But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root." Who's the root? The root is God. God is the root. If you're boasting against the other branches, if you're boasting against the other church members, you don't have God. You don't have the root. We have the hurricane that happened down in Texas. What happens during a storm, during a hurricane? The trees, they get blown away. All the leaves get blown away. The branches can tear down. But that tree's still alive as long as it has its root. God is the root. We need to remember that. We're not. So God can tear us down as branches, as a storm. He can tear us down. He can throw us away. He can do whatever he wants and grow new branches. He doesn't need us. So why do we boast? Spiritual pride kills Christianity. It kills your walk with God. Spiritual pride can separate you from God. It can separate you from your church family. It can separate you from your walk. It could separate you because God can't be near that pride. So that's why it's so serious, because as a Christian, we need to be as close to God as we possibly can. And that little bit of pride, when you look down upon somebody or when you get offended over something that God says in his word, that separates you. And you can't get closer to God until you repent. And if we go back to our regular text in Mark 14. And we look. We look all the way down in 72. We know the story. Jesus got taken by the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees. They came and took him at night. And they're there and they're questioning him and they're beating him up. And all of a sudden people are like looking at Peter. "Hey, I know you. Aren't you one of him? Aren't you one of those Christian guys? Aren't you his follower?" We look down to verse 72. After Peter denies him when Christ said he was going to, and he denies him, it says, "And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to the mind the word that Jesus said unto him, 'Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And when he thought thereon, he wept." And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to remember the words of the Lord. When we mess up, when you look down upon somebody, when you get offended at God's word, remember what God said. Remember his words. Repent. Cry out. That's exactly what Peter did. He cried. He repented. In Matthew, it said he ran out and wept. He ran away to cry out to God. He repented. He felt guilty. So you can't repent, or you can't cry out to God until you have that repentance, until you feel guilty about what you've done. It's the same thing with salvation. Spiritual pride and spiritual growth and getting born again are almost the same. Once you're born again, once you're saved, you can't lose it, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God I'm going to heaven. Praise God I'm saved. And it's not because of me. So, but the same thing with your spiritual growth. The same exact thing. When you get born again, what did you do? You realized you're a sinner, right? You can't get born again until you realize you're a sinner. You realize you're a sinner. You realize you're going to hell. You have to pay for that sin. You cry out to Jesus to save you, and you get saved. You receive Jesus Christ. Now, same thing after you're saved. When you're walking with God, you realize you did something you're not supposed to. You have a spiritual pride. You have a sin. Whatever it is, you first and foremost, you have to do what you have to do is realize what you did was wrong. You cannot grow spiritually until you have that realization what you've done was wrong. You have to, just like your salvation, you have to realize that was wrong. And then you repent and you cry out to God and you ask God to forgive you, and God will forgive you. Brother Zimmerman, if you could play a little invitation song, please. Brother Cliff. Could you play invitation song? I'm going to have a little brief invitation and then get out of here. We can enjoy a nice Labor Day weekend, or Labor Day off tomorrow. Praise the Lord. If there's something God spoke to you about, if there's something that you're proud about, if you're looking down upon others, if you have a spiritual pride about you that you need to cleanse, please, please, I am begging you, please, realize that you have the problem. Confess it to God, and He will take it away. Repent. Spiritual pride is a killer, and it can kill every single one of us, from the pastor down to a member. It doesn't matter who you are. We can always look down upon people. I know, like, second generation Christians look down upon first generation Christians sometimes. It's a spiritual proudness, a spiritual pride. We have to be careful. Please. Please, I beg you. Please, give it to God. He will forgive you. Give you guys a second to talk to God. This altar's open if you need to come to the altar. If not, pray at your seats, please. Father, I thank you so much. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. I thank you for loving me even though I'm a sinner. I thank you for showing me the things that I do wrong. I thank you for helping me overcome them. Father, I know I am nothing without you. All of us are nothing without you. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. Without your forgiveness, we are nothing. I ask you, Lord, please, look upon each and every one of our hearts here tonight. Look upon every heart. If we have any bitterness, if we have any unforgiveness, if we have any pride, if we have anything in our hearts that we shouldn't have, please reveal it to us, Father, because we need to realize that we have it. And then once we realize it, please allow us to repent and give it to you. Allow us to ask for your forgiveness. Father, cleanse us. Be with us. Allow us to be a light to this world and to others here. Allow us to sharpen each other, not bring each other down. Allow us to bring each other up, build each other up, lift each other up so we can be a light and filled with your love and your Holy Spirit, to where people can get saved when they come in here and people can see and feel you and they don't see us. Father, please draw us closer to you. That's all I want for me. That's what I want for this church. I want us to be close to you. Thank you so much, Father. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.